The easiest way to win playoff tickets is by following TSN 1050 on Instagram. Follow us, like our latest giveaway post, and tag who you want to bring to the game. It's that simple. Check us out at TSN 1050 on Instagram.
It's time for Toronto's Top Line.
The grits is, yeah, it's like, it's not a mashed potato. It's
see,
kind
no,
of
you guys don't know. You're talking completely out
I've
of
had
asses.
Grits before, but like, it's almost get, like an oatmeal. But like,
but grittier.
No,
but it's oatmeal, but grittier. Nice explanation.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official playoff voice of the Leafs.
Big, big show today. The NHL playoffs kicking off tonight. We got three games in the playoffs going tonight, five tomorrow. It's the end of the NBA season. So as of tonight, we're going to know who the Raptors are going to play in the first round. We still don't know who they're going to play in the second round. If everything works out the way we believe it should, we still don't know. It could be Cleveland, could be Philly.
Who do you want? Philly, obviously.
Oh, Philly all day. Yeah, like the Sixers have won 15 games in a row.
You still want them?
Absolutely. Over Cleveland every day of the week.
Just because of the LeBron factor.
Absolutely. I want LeBron in the conference final. At some point, you got to play him.
Right.
You got to play him. If it's in the second round, so be it. Raptors are a really good team. Let's see what they got.
You're just tired of hearing LeBron go, Toronto's such a great place. They got a good situation going here, but on his way out of town after he's won.
Condescending LeBron on his way to the NBA Finals for the eighth year in a row. Yeah. I'd rather avoid that as long as possible if it's going to happen.
I don't want to get off track here, and we're not TMZ, but if the video evidence is correct...
Of Tristan Thompson?
When you're 6'9", you can't hide. I mean, honestly, I've been in bars where NBA guys walk in and it's like, they're way bigger than everyone else. They're all good-looking dudes. It's like, you're not hiding when you're 6'9".
No, you can't hide.
And when you're married to Khloe Kardashian and she's 9 months pregnant, what's up?
Couple things on that. One.
By the way, I don't know if it's actually him, but it would seem.
Allegedly, Tristan Thompson, the pride of Brampton, may have gotten up to some.
That's him.
Like, I think it's him. I think it's safe to say it's him. TMZ.
He had some funky business going on. There was one nightclub. He was with two women, and he was kissing and hugging.
He was having a great time.
But was he
wasn't
single
he?
At the time? Because you don't know
Negatory.
The time stamp.
No.
You don't
it
know
was
the
in
time
October.
Stamp.
She was like a few months pregnant. They were together. Listen, I don't. For starters, they're not married.
Right.
They're not married.
So you don't know what their status was.
I don't know what
time.
Their status was. My understanding exactly. is he was with another girl when he started hooking up with Khloe to begin with, so who
go.
Knows? But you're
Man's
right, though.
A player.
If you're 6'10", chances are people are going to know who you are.
For sure.
Like, did you guys see the Andre the Giant documentary last night?
No.
Andre I thought it was, the Giant?
It was really
did they talk
cool.
about him drinking beer?
I'm so mad at myself for not recording this. I was going to stick my phone up against the TV and record the audio. Okay, a couple of things on the legendary drinking status of Andre the Giant.
Okay.
He could drink 50 beers.
No, it's like 108.
Some guy said with a straight face, not that you could possibly corroborate this,
right.
but he said, if I had to guess, he's the greatest drinker in the history of the world.
That's a Trump comment. But it's
but I'm
probably
not sure you can
true.
Challenge it. Everyone that they interviewed, Hogan, Ric Flair, his manager, Vince McMahon, they said nobody could drink like this guy. Ric Flair said he witnessed him drink 106 beers one night.
Another, who the hell goes and buys 106 beers?
The thing is, you talk about not being able to disappear. Andre the Giant, like Tristan Thompson, is nothing when it comes to Andre the Giant. The guy was like 7'2", 500 pounds.
But a beer in his hand would look like one of those little, tiny little cans, like a miniature can.
Another guy said, talking about his drinking.
So his drinking was on full display.
Like the most legendary stories. This guy said, again, with a straight face, fact, he would open up the night with anywhere from 20 to 25 beers.
Just to,
as an appy?
As an appy. Four bottles of wine, and then get into the mixed cocktails.
Get into the whiskey.
By the end of the night, he's into whiskey or scotch or vodka.
Wade Boggs would be jealous. Like, Wade Boggs would look like an amateur next to this guy.
How much did he weigh? Like 500 pounds?
Yeah, upwards of 500.
I'm gonna look
so
it
that's
up
just
right
normal,
now.
Then. It's like It's like us having a couple beers, a couple glasses of wine, and then some vodka sodas.
I guess it was tough for him to actually get a buzz on. Like, he was so big that he would drink so much, and he'd have to drink so fast just to get a buzz going. But
5 bills, 7 foot 4. 7 foot 4, 500 pounds. So, yeah, 50 beers wouldn't take the edge off of you.
Well, that's another thing. Rob Reiner was on it.
Wouldn't you get bloated and a little bored after 50 beers?
Well, he is slightly bloated, but he'd be... That's a steady stream to the bathroom.
They had Rob Reiner on and Billy Crystal because he was in, what was that movie called? The Princess Bride?
Yeah, The Princess Bride, yeah.
And Reiner said this guy would show up and break down his night before of drinking. Andre the Giant would start rapping off what he drank the night before.
Yeah.
And everyone would just be in shock and awe. And someone would eventually be like, so, like, how hungover are you?
Yeah.
And his answer almost daily was, I could barely get a buzz on.
Really?
Barely get a buzz on. And he's listing like 4 or 5 bottles of scotch and 25 beers. Barely a buzz.
Can you imagine like sitting down with one of your buddies and you just say, like, what did you get into last night? I had 74 beers, three bottles of wine, and then I got into some whiskey after that.
Couldn't get too deep into it. I had to work the next day.
Yeah.
Didn't want to get too deep.
I slowed her down after beer 80 because I had to go to work.
Yeah, took the edge off.
I'm not an animal. Like, come on, I'm a professional here. Now, the Andre the Giant doc was pretty cool, though. I suggest you check it out.
Can you get it on Netflix?
It was on HBO, so probably not. But it'll be replaying, I'm sure,
I'm reading it on HBO. The Rolling Stone website right now. From drinking 106 beers in a single sitting to refusing medical treatment for his condition, highlights from the doc about the pro wrestling legend. It's crazy.
I guess women loved him too.
Dude, now you're full of garbage.
That was the story.
He was one of the uglier people you'll ever meet in your life.
7'4", 500.
Yeah.
7'4", 500. A beast. A guy who, like, commanded the room.
Yeah.
Every guy was afraid of him.
You see a lot of ugly people.
So you think women would be attracted to that?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Maybe his bat, but that's about it.
Well, dude, you know I don't know. What do I know about what this guy's personal life was really like? But I'm telling you, Ric Flair was saying it last night. Hogan was saying it. They're like, this guy would roll into a room and just take over.
Yeah, well, the biggest guy in the room, most probably one of the more recognizable faces. Would it be around the world?
Or? Absolutely. Worldwide.
Worldwide. Women would like him. He's not a beautiful man, but you see a lot of ugly people with beautiful women.
That happens a lot.
Yeah. Happens in my household.
Exactly. I benefit from that formula. So. I think we all have, let's be honest.
Yeah, so, I mean, be honest. You know, it's...
Anyway, it was cool. It was fun to watch that last night.
I'm going to have to try and track that down. I bet you it'll be on one of my flights or something because Air Canada has that HBO on the touch, pay-per-view or whatever it is, on demand. I can't wait. I'll watch it.
Well, you're not flying anymore, though, right? You're here, aren't you, throughout the playoffs or what?
You're right, but I am going to have a couple flights here or there, so I got to head back to Alberta. Couple times, but
check it out. It was a pretty cool documentary last night, and it was a cool sports night in Toronto. TFC, they won down in Mexico City. Yeah. They had the time of their life last night.
4-2.
Yep. They move on. They're off to the finals of Champions League, and Aaron Sanchez had a no-hitter rolling into the eighth.
That was quite exciting.
It was a great, great outing. I had a chance to catch up with him about 20 minutes ago. We're going to play that at 4:30.
Nice.
And we're going to get him to answer, or I asked him, was it a hit or was it an error? Like, did Donaldson, Roger Dorn, that hit in the eighth?
I kind of felt like that was an error, but...
There was some Roger Dorn involved in it. Pretty quick. Like, it's not in his contract. He doesn't have to...
He gave it that ole bleep.
There was some ole in it. Now, it was a rocket.
It was a rocket. Donaldson usually is a vacuum cleaner. Like, that guy is... And he's a grit grinder, too.
Oh, he was, believe me, you could tell he was disappointed with himself.
For sure, you don't want to be the guy.
It's a no-hitter going into the eighth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's only happened once in team history, I believe. So, I don't know if they would have been aware of that history, but you're out there doing it for your guy. Aaron Sanchez, he had a tough year last year.
Yeah.
He's off to a good start. He had a great night last night. Jays are 8-4. They're 8-4.
Didn't see that coming.
Yankees lost 14-1 to Boston.
They got their asses kicked.
They are not good right now. Like, the Yankees look like that super team that was put together that cannot find any chemistry whatsoever.
The overdrive in New York is going nuts.
Crazy.
Well, that Stanton wasn't very good again last night. I think he was 1-for-4 or something. Couple strikeouts again.
We may have to have Don LaGreca on at some point.
From ESPN Radio in New York? We should get him on.
Get him to yell and scream about them.
Well, the Giants pick second. The Jets pick third. The Yankees are off to a bad start. But the Mets are off to a great start.
The Knicks suck.
The Knicks suck. The Rangers and the Islanders missed the playoffs.
Yep.
Good. Forget New York. They've had enough success.
His New York sports scene is not good, but that's where he's probably yelling and screaming, and it's probably good radio, put it that way.
I would think so. So anyway, we've got the NHL playoffs going tonight. Three games tonight. Winnipeg is at home against Minnesota. And I'm drawn to the series because it's Winnipeg, but Minnesota just does not interest me at all.
Doesn't move the needle for
not me. Even remotely. Like, I wish they were playing Chicago or even Dallas.
I don't know what it is about that team. For years, they've been really good, but there's no sex appeal to it.
But that's nothing.
Honestly, what
nothing
it is?
Nothing in Minnesota.
You know what Minnesota is? New Jersey West. You know how here New Jersey is an organization that kind of, I mean, Hayes, you like to bag on New Jersey a little bit, but thing is it's an organization that doesn't get enough cachet or enough play.
And well, they don't Devils get any attention cups in their own market for the most part.
But Minnesota, the Wild, like, they're massive in their own market. But outside of that, the style that they play, Jacques Lemaire brought in the trap when we first started there. They haven't been a sexy team. Not a lot of superstar appeal out of them.
I think that's what it is, too. Like, Ryan Suter's not going to be playing.
Yeah.
Spurgeon's banged up. He's not a household name, though.
But
he's
even
a good player.
Even if Ryan Suter played,
it's still the same thing.
Is he a guy that you're like, I got to see Ryan
Absolutely
Suter?
Absolutely not.
Because Ryan Suter does his job very quietly.
Oh, he's not Carlson or Doughty.
No,
he's
like,
not.
He just plays.
Yeah, no, there's nothing about Minnesota that's interesting.
Other than
nothing.
Brucey. I think Brucey is...
But that's the hello coach. You know, like, who's tuning in to see the coach say hello behind the bench?
I'd like to see Brucey's ties, if they're on crooked, what he had for lunch.
Face,
yeah, what
losing
he had for lunch that day. Like,
well, they're... Outside of Colorado, I would say they're the biggest underdogs going into the first round. Because Winnipeg's tires are being pumped the way that they are. Because Suter's out. Because Spurgeon's banged up.
Yeah.
They're maybe good. Jersey, Tampa. Maybe I would put Jersey, Tampa.
I
would say Columbus is not an underdog necessarily way that Minnesota is.
We didn't get to this
Winnipeg
yesterday, Brian. We didn't kind of rank or go through every series and say which one we felt was quite predictable. We obviously know that to me the Bruins and the Leafs are the least predictable series in my opinion. But
I only got one real predictable one. It's Nashville and Colorado. I think that will be a smoke show.
I think it will be too. I do think Winnipeg though should roll over Minnesota. And Tampa should roll over New Jersey. They should.
Well, yes and no. And the reason I'll say is you hear these stories, like Keith Kincaid, has come out of nowhere, in a sense. You know, he's been but you hear about a guy gets on a heater.
Well, that can happen, but Johnny Burns could do that for
Colorado.
That's
what I'm saying. Like, Johnny Burns, with the fact that there's no Eric Johnson and no Semyon Varlamov there, but they still won that last game, still got in. But yeah, Nashville's, for the most part, looks pretty healthy and pretty excited to
play.
They're
a really good team. Like, Nashville's great. Winnipeg's really good.
Yeah.
Those are the two teams that I put above everyone else in the West, and I think we all have all year.
Yeah.
And they both should meet each other in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
And that may be treated as the conference final. Whoever
probably
gets out of that series more than likely will represent the West in the Cup final. But
unless Vegas just rolls through everyone as usual. Like,
yeah,
they,
you never know. I mean, that's why they play the games, and it starts tonight. So again, Aaron Sanchez is coming up here around 4:30. We got Jerry's percentages at 5:30 today.
Hello?
Jerry?
Hello?
Yes?
Shut your yaps, because Jerry's in the house. And with the playoffs starting tonight, I'm too jacked up to wait until 5:30 for some hot takes.
Wow.
So stick this in your pipe and smoke it, you losers. Austin Matthews will finish as the point leader of the Bruins Leafs series.
You got Jared, you son of a bitch, because that char is coming for you.
Jerry at 4:15.
Wow, he's really guns blazing today already.
He is jacked about the playoffs.
So fired up, he couldn't wait until 5:30.
That's good, though.
We've never done this before. We've never had Jerry just interrupt the show the way that he just did in such a rude fashion.
Quite Boudreaux rude. Hellos.
Right. Telling us to shut our yaps.
I think it was quite rude.
That was rude. But, okay, I guess if we got to play the game, we got to play the game. He's got Matthews finishing the first round in the series, not league-wide. Right. Leafs, Bruins, Matthews, most points in the series.
20%. He's going against one of the best defensive centermen that's ever played. And every time he steps on the ice, Zdeno Chara will be on the ice. Chara's not what he was, but he can still shut you down. So I'm going to say 20 or 25, did I say? 25%.
Yeah.
But he's that talented, he could still make it happen.
I think that's a high number and a reasonable number because you're playing against the field. Like the field, because it could be Marner, it could be Nylander, it could be Kadri, it could be, or it could be
Marchand, Pasternak,
you know, Krejci right on the other side. So you're going against the field. I'm going to be slightly lower, 18%.
I'm going to be slightly higher because I think at home Babcock is going to get him away from those players you just talked about as much as possible. Babcock's going to want the Kadri line on the Bergeron line, I would think. And he's going to try to avoid Chara as much as possible. And Chara doesn't play the same way he did right. 5 years ago. He doesn't have the same daunting presence that he once did. And Matthews, what he has proven to me in 2 years is that when you've got a big moment, he will show up. He is a big game performer. And I'll be honest, that's why I'm leaning towards the Leafs winning this coin flip. It's a complete intangible. You can't quantify it. I just feel like this young core, this core that they have here in Toronto, is destined for greatness. And
you wonder if he'll ever get played like a true number one.
Well,
like Boston Bruins, they have a true top line, and if there's a power play, they're starting it. Austin Matthews sometimes sits on the bench for a minute and 25 seconds and says, "All right, you guys, let's see what you can leave me. Let's see if I can pick up the scraps."
Could you imagine how many minutes he would play if Randy Carlyle was still the coach?
He'd be a 20. He'd be like Barkov, 22, 23 minutes a night.
He would lead the league in minutes. Like, I looked up last night. I was at a pool last night. I want to get to that in a moment. Just how crazy Leaf fans are in the city right now. And I was looking over Anaheim because I ended up picking a couple of guys.
Mm-hmm.
And just over their game log down the stretch. And they were playing to get into the playoffs. Getzlaf every night, 20, 21 minutes. Every night. Perry, 19, 20 minutes. Raquel, 20, 21. Like, Carlyle, he takes them out to the woodshed. He plays them
more
every opportunity.
They are top heavy.
Like, but still, you know, they're not that top heavy.
No, they've got tremendous
Henrik's
depth
a good
down,
player. They
down
got
the
they're
middle.
They're a pretty good team, Anaheim. But Randy's like, get out there, get out there, get out there. Anyway, as for this, Jerry, so I'll go a bit higher than you guys because of what I just said. 35%.
Boy, that's a
35%.
That's high, man.
He's a big game player. I think he's their best player.
Yep.
And
he is.
I'm feeling good about Matthews going into the series. I'm feeling real good. And I was thinking about it earlier. Like, we can compare and contrast these teams until we're blue in the face. I mean, and we all know what the Leafs have to do to win, what the Bruins have to do to win. But if you really get as basic as possible, when it comes to the Bruins, we focus so much on that top line.
Right.
It's easier to figure out what the Leafs actually have to do. It's easier to locate the task that they need to succeed at. Now, it's going to be really tough to execute, but they got to shut down that top line. You got to find a way to shut down that top line. Because if you take Bergeron, Pasternak, Marchand out of that lineup,
it's starting to look pretty ordinary.
It is. Like, they're still a good team, but
and they're probably the best line in the league.
I think they are. I think they have been for 2 years.
They're one of
the top three or four lines,
for sure.
Undisputed. But I don't know if people are bringing up the fact that, like, Boston, they got question marks too. DeBrusque's never played a playoff game. Heinen's a kid. They got Brian Gionta. The guy was in the Olympics a month and a half ago.
Playing over the Donato kid. I have no idea how you take that Donato kid.
Right.
He's been unreal since he came up and started playing.
Well, Donato's on the wing. and Gianta's in the middle.
Gianta's not a centerman?
No, he's been playing center.
He's been playing center. Donato can play center.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know if you want to do that in the playoffs right away.
No, but... And Rick Nash coming off a concussion.
I'll take my chances.
No Carlo. Like, they got some things you can point to and say, you know what, I think the Leafs can expose that. It's going to be a great series. We'll see what happens starting tomorrow night. Rays coming up live from Vegas ahead of the Golden Knights taking on the Kings tonight. Three games in the NHL. Jerry's percentages. I think we're still doing it at 5:30, but he might show up at any
Never
point.
Know.
He won't do it again.
You don't think he'll do
he
that again?
He only does 5:30.
Aaron Sanchez pitched a gem last night. We caught up with him earlier this afternoon. Asked him, does he think that was a hit or an error in the eighth? How's he feeling compared to last year? What's up with this 8-4 start? We got into a number of things with him. We'll let you hear that in about 10 minutes. All right, someone texting in wondering if the O-Dog has a Marchand jersey on this afternoon because you picked the Bruins to win the series on the TSN preview show last night.
Oh, what? You think that's the first time I've heard that? I got abused all night. I thought you bled blue. Excuse me, I have a job to do.
You weren't alone. Ray and Craig had Boston, too.
Yeah. It happens. I mean, you're supposed to choose. And here's the thing that people are idiotic about. It's your opinion. You're allowed your own opinion.
Yeah, and apparently, trust me, I would love to see a different result.
Well, yeah, there's a difference between what people think will happen and what's going to happen.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
That's what I kind of think what will happen. Would I be pleasantly surprised if it didn't? Yes, I would.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Leafs win at all. I don't know what to think about this series. I've been saying for 2 months it's a 50-50 coin flip.
I still believe
regardless
that
of who they play.
Yep.
If it's Tampa, it'd be the same thing. It's Boston. I'm leaning towards Toronto because of the intangible I referenced in the previous segment. I think this core of Matthews, Marner, Nylander, throw Freddie Anderson in there, Babcock, the new blood over the past few years, they just continue to grow and grow and grow. And, you know, Boston's been maybe the best team in the league for about 3 months, but I think the Leafs can play with them. I know they can. We've seen it the past couple of years, and they're both really good teams, but yeah. I'm on the Leafs, but I have no idea how it's going to play out. The only thing I'm pretty sure about, even though it's sports, is that Nashville's going to win, Winnipeg's going to win, Tampa's going to win.
You think those three are...
I think those three are borderline locks. I mean,
I think in sports, you say you think all three of these are slam dunks. Probably one of them won't happen.
That's the scary part, is one of those teams is going to lose, probably.
Don't you think there's an upset around?
I hope so. You know what, to be honest, we probably should take our P's and Q's from this whole season.
Exactly.
Vegas is in the playoffs. Colorado's in the playoffs. Jersey's in the playoffs. Edmonton was cup favorites, and now they're a disaster.
Yep.
McDavid, Crosby, not up for the heart. I mean, they could be, but probably not.
Yeah.
It's been a season full of unpredictability.
Exactly.
Why wouldn't it continue?
It's absolutely going to continue. So with that mindset, maybe Taylor Hall wins the Conn Smythe, and Jersey goes on a run.
You think they're going to the Cup final and winning?
With Keith Kincaid.
You know who wouldn't surprise me? The Washington Capitals.
That wouldn't surprise me either. But they're a top seed.
Lose in the first round.
See, I think Pittsburgh could be ripe for the picking in the first round. Brian Elliott scares the hell out of me in Philly, but Pittsburgh, it's tough to keep winning in the playoffs, man.
Yep.
It's really tough. I could see them running out of steam.
Never know.
Philly can score. Like, Gostisbehere, we haven't mentioned him all year. That kid was unbelievable this year.
Yeah, he played very well.
Like, he had, 63, 64 points or something like that? Like, if he gets dancing, I think it'll be a fun series, and that begins tonight.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Excuse me! Guess who's back? Back again. Jerry's back. Tell a friend. And Jerry's brought another hot take with him because he's not waiting until 5:30 for all these takes. The Pittsburgh Penguins will once again make it further in the playoffs than Ovi in the Washington Capitals.
That son of a bitch, Ovi can shoot the puck, but he can lose in the playoffs too.
Speak of the devil. We happen to be talking about these two teams.
Yeah.
And Jerry shows up again, interrupting the show. Unannounced, was not supposed to be a part of the program until 5:30, but he's saying he's going back to the well. Pittsburgh goes deeper than Washington again.
70%. I just can't get past history out of my head. It's like human beings. You typically don't change.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
You're right about
that. If
that's
all we know. Yeah,
there's no denying that.
It's like Tristan Thompson. He's going to keep doing what he's doing.
The next girl's going to deal with the same problems. The pride of Brampton is going to get after it in the clubs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Allegedly. Very important to say that.
After it.
Allegedly. I think Washington is going to get further than Pitt. I do. I think this is the year. I just said it. I'm not convinced Pitt's going to get out of the first round. I'll say 35%. 35% Pitt goes further than Washington.
35%?
28%.
Wow.
Wow, I'm the only guy.
But well, I listen...
You're in the majority. People still love Pitt.
I don't think Washington wants me looking at them because I chose San Jose, I chose Anaheim, I've chose Washington last year. Like, now they're flying under the radar, but I just... this is a team that has kind of just done nothing all season, got 106 points. Like, you look at it, Backstrom didn't have a great season. Yeah, Ovi, lots of goals and that, but, like, I think they're a pretty good team.
Mm-hmm. They're a really good team. They're the top seed in a good division.
Yeah, but I think that they could surprise some people, if that's the right wording.
Aaron Sanchez had a no-hitter going into the eighth last night. It was an absolute gem. The Jays are 8-4. We caught up with him earlier this afternoon. We'll let you hear that in 2 minutes. All right, Ray's coming up just after 5, live from Vegas. We'll start teeing up the NHL playoffs with him. Jerry's percentages in about an hour. Jays are 8-4. They're on fire out of the gate. They won again last night. And Aaron Sanchez, his third start of the year. The first couple of starts, he looked good. Didn't necessarily get the numbers going his way, but he looked good, and he had it going last night. A no-hitter going into the eighth. Caught up with Aaron about an hour ago, and I began the conversation by asking him to take his back into the dugout. Seventh inning, you've got a no-hitter going. What's running through your mind before you go out there for the eighth?
I know I'm six outs away, which is pretty cool. I've never been that close to throwing a no-hitter in my career. So obviously you know what's at stake, but you just try to make pitches. That's kind of what my whole focus was on the whole night. Was just about making pitches. So when I went out there, I really didn't put too much stress into anything. You know, it was still a very close game, so my mindset was more about winning the game than it was throwing a no-hitter.
Are you superstitious at all? Were you staying away from your teammates, your manager, your coach? I mean, did you change up your routine? What happened?
No, I'm not that very superstitious, but I could start feeling people walking away from me. I'd go get water, and I would try to dab them up, saying, "Hey, nice play here, nice play there," and it's a quick dab and get out of there. So yeah, you could tell people didn't want to talk to me. You know, I know everybody in the baseball world is superstitious. Don't talk to the pitcher. Don't do this. But, you know, for me, it was such a close game. I was more worried about making sure that we won that game than what was going on otherwise. So it was a great night for me. Great team win for our team. So everything's rolling for us right now, and we just got to continue doing this.
Okay, what if a teammate broke that code, though? What if he walked up to you and said, "Dude, you got a no-hitter going here. Like, you've got to close this. We're all pulling for you." How would you react? Would you assume that he was goofing on you? Would you tell him he's got to take a lap? I mean, what would you say to that guy?
I would just kind of laugh and kind of just shake it off as if he didn't even say anything, to be honest. I mean, obviously, I'm looking at the board. I see it out there, so it's not. I think at that point, he's more stating the obvious. But if I were to go out there and then maybe give it up that next inning or that next pitch or something, you could say something. But at that point, it's not. Who knows in this game, man? There were so many great plays that no hitter could have been broken in the first when Pierce was running in the gap. You know, it could have been broken up on the play that Devin made two innings before that. So hats off to those guys, and it was just a fun night.
With Aaron Sanchez here on Overdrive. So let's get to the actual hit. Tim Beckham steps up, and he launches one towards third. Now, this debate is going on big time in Toronto. Every Blue Jay fan has an opinion on it. A lot of people think that should have been ruled an error. Do you think it should have been called a hit or an error?
I don't really care. You know, the score is decision, and they called it a hit, so it was a hit. If it wasn't an error, the next guy got a hit anyway, so could have things changed? Yeah, things probably could have changed, but it doesn't matter. We got the win, and that's all that matters at the end of the day.
Well, you guys are off to a great start, man. 8-4, big difference from last April, needless to say. I mean, last year was tough. How much of a focal point was that during spring training, making sure you guys got off to a better start?
I don't think we really – obviously everybody knows where we were and what we did last year and last April, and we got off to a terrible start. But, you know, there were so many things that happened early on in April last year that, you know, we couldn't really control. So I think people understood and guys in this clubhouse understood what we did and what we needed to change. And a lot of these guys have been on the roster that's been to those playoffs, you know, and they know what it takes to win every night. You know, just things kind of fell apart last year early for us, and we never really found a way to kind of bounce back. So to come out and do what we're doing, you know, we've got great pitching, our bullpen's been stepping up, hitters have been doing their thing. It's been a team effort, and it's been fun.
And you've avoided the blisters, and that's what really threw you off a year ago. And as you've mentioned, I mean, they were a part of the program in 2016 when you were top 10 in votes for a Cy Young, and you had an absolutely magnificent season. You look like you're back to the 2016 form. You look like you're comfortable. But did your routine change? I mean, how have you handled what happened last year and specifically the blisters?
Yeah, I mean, last year, that last year was what it was. You know, I don't want to really get back into talking about my finger. It's gone. I feel good. But it just one thing led to another that led to another, and I couldn't really catch up from it. This year, I haven't seemed to have a problem, and my routine really hasn't changed. It's, you know, I got falling behind on some things, and we just couldn't catch up. So I'm in a good spot. My finger's in a good spot, and hopefully I continue to keep it there for the remainder of the season.
With Aaron Sanchez of the Blue Jays, your first two starts were at the Rogers Center, so you knew what kind of atmosphere and environment you were going to deal with. Last night,
for sure.
Outdoors, it's cold, man. Up and down the East Coast, it has been really, really cold. What's that like pitching in that kind of weather?
Yeah, you just got to take it. We came from Texas, which was pretty cold too, so you kind of get your body used to it. I got to throw my side there. I got to, you know, play catch out there. So I was luckily kind of accustomed to the weather before we got here. It actually was colder in Texas than it was here. So you just try to execute. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what this game's about. You know, I felt like once you get warmed and once you get hot, you really don't cool off. You know, they have heaters here in the dugout that kind of kept me warm. We have the luxury of getting to stay in the tunnel if we need to. So I felt fine majority of the night. Once I got loose, I really didn't have a problem.
I think your two biggest rivals over the past 3 or 4 years have been Texas and Baltimore, just because of the playoff history and some of the other stuff. We know what happened in Texas, and Jose Bautista was in the middle of a lot of it, but you've been a big part of those two rivalries as well. Does it still feel that way to you, or do you feel like you guys have kind of moved on from where you were over the past 2 or 3 years with those two teams in particular?
I mean, I think it's always going to be there. You know, those are always stamped, and you know, what happens. So yeah, you know, some people can feel some type of way towards those situations. I think for us, we just want to win games. You know, that's what we're here to do. We're here to put this team in a good position at the end of the year to hopefully be fighting for something. So it doesn't matter who we're playing against or who's out there we're competing against. I think our mindset is just win that night.
Well, you guys went to back-to-back ALCS appearances, and then last year we know what happened. You ran into the injuries. You had a horrible April. Couldn't get it back on track. You end up with 76 wins. Then all of a sudden, the whole baseball world, it appears, has moved on from you guys, and everyone's handed the division to Boston, and albeit they're off to a great start, or the Yankees, but you guys have been better than the Yankees. You guys have led the division in runs scored, which I think has surprised a lot of people. Do you feel like the baseball world was undervaluing you guys or looking past you guys coming into this season?
I mean, but rightfully so. There were so many big moves made in the division where, you know, teams look better on paper, and you got to go out there and compete and get it done at the end of the day. Like I said, and I'll say it again, these guys have been on teams that won. You know, we know what it takes to get to that to that point where we want to be at, and it starts now, and I think that's our focus. And now teams are seeing. We knew what type of players we had. We knew what kind of guys we had in this clubhouse, and it was all about just going out there and executing on our end.
As for the Yankees, when you've got Judge into Stanton into Sanchez, three right-handed bats, big power hitters, you're a right-handed arm, you throw heat. I mean, do you relish that opportunity to meet the middle of that lineup? Or, I mean, how do you approach the Yankees and their big hitters compared to any other lineup?
I think it all comes down to executing. Yeah, you know, a mistake it could be hit a long way, so you try to limit those. But at the end of the day, you go over game plan before the game. You see what they've been doing over the last few weeks. You try to exploit what they're going through, and you just compete. I mean, at the end of the day, it's me versus you, and let's see how it shakes out. So, you know, you try to not put too much effort into it. Obviously, you understand who they are. You understand what they can do, but at the same time, we got to go out there and compete.
The Jays are off to an 8-4 start. They wrap up their series in Baltimore tonight. He had an absolutely outstanding performance last night in Baltimore. He is Aaron Sanchez. We can't thank you enough. Congrats on a great outing last night. Best of luck down the road, and let's do it again soon. Thanks, man.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
There's Aaron Sanchez. No hitter going into the eighth last night, but in the end, they got the win. He's pitched really well. Blisters have not been a problem.
Playing some sort of entertaining brand of baseball, too.
Like last night, they had to grind, right? Last night was not, they weren't hitting bombs all over the park.
Well, the
like
night
they
before that, Pierce, 3-0 pitch, piped, Donaldson, grand slam.
Granderson the night before. Like, they're getting big at-bats from the guys that they need that kind of performance from.
Yeah.
And the arms, if they start catching up to, you know, Estrada's on the mound tonight. He's pitched pretty well. Garcia's pitched pretty well. Sanchez, obviously, considering what happened last night.
Strosho's got to get moving.
He's got to get moving. Yeah, he's got to get moving. Happ pitched really well his last time out. So, you know, if the rotation is there and the bats stay alive, not necessarily to this extent, they're not going to lead the division in runs scored. But if they can be a mediocre offense and a top five rotation, top five arms, that's a formula for winning games. Ray Ferraro coming up just after 5. Jerry's percentages at 5:30.
We got to find a new job. Do you know where we need to find a new job? All of us will go somewhere. Place called the Queens Quay Terminal. There's office space and below, there's a grocery store at Tim Hortons, and I work out there. My gym is there. And there's these business people that they go down and get a coffee. They sit in the area for 35 minutes, go out for a dart, go back up. Then I see them, and there's a restaurant, like a pub. They hang out in there for an hour and a half for lunch. I'm thinking, how good a gig do these people have? You've got to get above that type of area, and you just wheel down there, and you never go back.
I do find that generally is the move for office workers, like cubicle workers.
Dude, I'm telling you, if there's that situation underneath you, you can wheel down there and disappear, and you can have a time. You could have cocktails all afternoon. Dude, you bring a laptop. What's the difference?
Well, if you got work going on, I don't know. If you've got a boss, like you got Bill Lumberg from Office Space on your tail, like it's not that easy to just disappear. But we all know people that work on Bay Street or work at banks or whatever, work in offices. And I find what they've told me over the years is when they get in there, like the first thing they do, they get to work and then they're going for coffee for like a half an hour. Like basically, I don't want to be here. Leave me alone. It's like a truce around the office. Like no one expect any work done right when we get in. We got to ease into the day. And I appreciate that. Like, I get ripped on a lot of times because I show up here, let's say I get here at 2, and I'm not in the mood to be talking with people or chatting with people, and someone will be like, hey, what's with you? Like, why aren't you in more of a talkative mood? And I'm like, dude, this is my 9 a.m. Like, people show up at work at 9, and no one bothers them at 9 because, hey, it's 9. Leave them alone. They just
What I tell people is I talk for a living. I don't feel like talking all day.
Exactly. Like, when I get in here, let me have my space. Let me just log into the computer.
No, it's very simple, Brian. Don't talk to me. Well, I just like
it's not that simple.
I like, love when you leave here, you talk for 3 hours, and you go somewhere, and it's like, what about the Leafs? Like, what about the?
Well, that's what my wife said to me the other day. She's like, it's weird because considering what you do for a living, I think people expect you to walk into a room and start performing almost and like broadcasting, and that's not who I am.
No interest.
I'm not going in and talking to everybody. I'm not going to be rude to people, but so. With the industry that we're in, that happens a lot. People will meet us, or you'll go somewhere, and they're like, wow, I was expecting him to really perform or be more talkative. He's kind of a quiet guy, and I'm like...
Not as Rod Smith said, you're very awkward socially.
Thank you. Did Rod say that?
Yeah. The day after you told me Rod Smith is socially awkward.
I think Rod and I, we'd have a great relationship if we just stopped and talked every once in a while.
You guys walk each other... Walk past each other in the hallways like ships in the night.
Maybe a foghorn, and we move in our own direction. All right, Ray's coming up live from Vegas. Get a read on what the atmosphere is like down there. Their first playoff game tonight with the Kings in town. We'll start teeing up the other two games, Jets, Wild, Pittsburgh, Philly, and keep looking ahead to game one tomorrow night, Leafs in Boston. Jerry's percentages at 5:30.